Well, the sermon is a positive subject, but I have kind of a negative announcement to make. On the way out last week, we were getting the rumors that Helen Smith has pancreas cancer. And that is true. So I texted her to make sure that is true. She is getting chemo treatments right now and will have surgery after 6 chemo treatments. Can send her messages if you like, but they think that no visitors is best, so she doesn't have anything like the flu in addition to it, and can keep going with treatments and eventually get this surgery. I guess we don't know. On the other hand, she, you know, her message was kind of positive. At least they think they found it early. That's better than having it go on and on and on. Might have been able to make a New Year's Day sermon out of our next text in 1 Corinthians. It is about God using us with spiritual gifts. So maybe that would have worked last week. Although last week we chose doing cheer in the Bible and went through the references to cheer. And this Sunday we'll now return to our study of 1 Corinthians. We're at chapter 12, and the start of chapter 12 will be about God has given us spiritual gifts, and he wants everybody to do his work. So that may have fit a New Year's Day sermon also. The first few verses of 1 Corinthians 12 isn't quite to the spiritual gift list yet. The first few verses kind of fit Corinth better than Amarillo, because the first verses in 1 Corinthians 12 are about idols. Well, fortunately, we don't have majority of people following idols around. I think I've seen one in town, though. I think I have seen one. I can't remember where it was, but it was over on the northeast side sometime, not driving around. So, idols in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3, although it sort of will fit going into spiritual gifts, because the main thing is idols can't talk. And many spiritual gifts have to do with giving God's message. So idols can't talk. They can't give messages. They don't give spiritual gifts to their worshipers like God gives to his. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 and following. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Begins with now concerning. We won't go back through all that list, but this is the outline of 1 Corinthians. Quite a bit of now, quite a bit of now concerning, switching topics. Ever since chapter 7, now concerning involves questions that had been written to Paul in a letter. And the Corinthian church had questions, and they wrote Paul a letter. And every time there's a now concerning, it's a new answer to one of the questions they had in their letter. So they were asking him about spiritual gifts in the letter they had written. Spiritual gifts often involve speaking. And so to the Corinthians, speaking, you know, kind of paralleled, idols can't speak. Pagan priests and pagan worshipers don't have any spiritual gifts. They don't really have any messages. Aphone is the Greek word. Telephone is a far message up to the ends. And aphone is they can't talk at all. No voice, no sound. They're made of rocks. They're made of metals like silver or gold or brass. They are made of wood totem poles. They don't have any ministry. He also said in verse 1, I do not want you to be unaware. Greek word is ignorant. agnostic. I always like to emphasize that the word agnostic means ignorant. That's what it means in the Bible, and that's actually what it means now if they want to put in that category. The idolatrous priests and worshipers can't give God's messages. What they often say is Jesus is accursed. Original is anathema, coming later in Corinthians. Jesus is accursed. No one can truly say over and over again, and actually is their common message, that Jesus is Lord unless they're believers. Of course, in both categories, there might be a short-term claim. We had Peter denying the Lord as long as the rooster crowed, and then he went right back to recognizing the Lord, which was his main and lifelong message. And Jesus said that once in a while, unbelievers will call him Lord, Lord, but they don't act like Christians and don't really believe like Christians. So once in a while, they will say opposite of what they really believe. On the other hand, here is their common lifelong message. Jesus is anathema, or Jesus is Lord. So he's getting to speaking gifts, and he's getting to spiritual gifts that often involve speaking gifts, and we'll have a list of them very, very soon. But first, it goes through categories, and it will say there can be a gift, then there's varieties of that one gift, then there are effects of what happens when uses that gift in different ways. So let's go ahead and look at that next section before we get to our list of gifts. This second section is verses 4 through 7. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, likely the Father, you have the Trinity here being listed, who works all things in all persons. But to each one of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Idols can't teach anything. Idols can't give messages. False religions can't give spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts, although the whole Trinity is mentioned here. In verse 7, where we will begin, the reference is everybody has a spiritual gift. It could be true that a person says, I don't know what it is. If a person's been saved just a few days, they might not know what their spiritual gift is, might not know what they feel a burden to be doing, might not know what doors open and are good for them to do, but all believers have a spiritual gift. That's here in verse 7. Glance ahead to verse 11. That we will read later. See, close of verse 11, distributing to each one just as he wills. Each person has spiritual gift. Same way with the text that Ken just read us. Ephesians 4, 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. 1 Peter 4:11 is another one that we have not read yet. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. So far that's four Bible verses all teaching the same thing. Here, verse 7, verse 11, everybody has a spiritual gift. Ephesians 4, verse 7, everybody has a spiritual gift. 1 verse 10, spiritual gift. Must come immediately at the time of salvation, because if someone's just saved a short time, they have a spiritual gift. Might not yet know what it is, and we'll give some attention to how we can find out what our spiritual gift is later. But everyone has it, and that's sufficient for right now. Also, another truth, still from verse 7, is the purpose of the spiritual gift is for the common good. It sounds like political talk in some ways, but it started out in the Bible. For the common good. spiritual gifts might bring self-attention, but that's not their purpose. That would be a result. I'm getting attention for a spiritual gift. That's God's business, and that's what God does, and it may result, but the spiritual gift's purpose is for the common good. That will fit when we get to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And it's still in the topic of spiritual gifts, but the whole point of the spiritual gift is to manifest unconditional love to other people. And unconditional love sounds like the phrase for the common good. 1 Corinthians 14 will say it's for other people too. It will use the word edify. And I don't think we use the word edify too much outside of church or outside of Bible reading, but we do use the word opposite, because edify means to build up, and it's common language to talk about tearing others down. So commonly in the language, we use the opposite of tearing others down. But the purpose of the spiritual gift is to edify. Oike dumeo means to build another person up, like building up a building or building up another person. So all have spiritual gifts, and the purpose of the spiritual gifts is to help other people and to build them up. In verses 4, 5, and 6, I stress the word varieties. We have varieties, we have different subcategories of a particular gift of the Holy Spirit. There can be varieties of ministries. Then in the varieties of ministries, there can be different ways that work, different ways that cause good effects. The best way to show this is to illustrate. And we can do it with more than one gift, but let me do teaching. One variety of gift of teaching is being especially gifted at teaching children. So, same gift, but different type of ministry. And then there can be, say, evangelism. Evangelism is a gift. But it could be the variety of the gift that, again, works well with children or works well with, name the list, people in the military, that would work. People in the hospital, that would work. So there is a one gift, but varieties of it. That would be true with encouragement. The Bible's word is often exhortation. But some people with encouragement are very good at encouraging people in the business and encouraging the neighbors. Again, they could be very good at encouraging people that are sick in the hospital. So you have one gift, but you have varieties of ministries. And then you have varieties of outcomes or effects. That's kind of like here with the church's ministry. One effect of evangelism is the school kids over there at Avondale School, and then there are others doing CEF ministries. That is one effect. My effect is families of the mentally ill. It just kind of works. We can think of other efforts at evangelism that don't have much effect. Let's say evangelize the bikers, the people on motorcycles. Well, I could do it, but I'm not sure they'll listen. You know, times in the past, they've come up to the parking lot. There have been one or two, and okay, I try to help. It just seems like the effects work out better with children at the elementary schools, and the effects work out better with families that are mentally ill. So you have one gift. Then you have different varieties. Then you have different effects. My personal opinion is always to keep doing the thing that is working out. If it's working out so that there are lots of things happening, keep doing it. So that's the same then with the school ministries, with CEF. That's the same with families of the mentally ill. It just seems to work. And sometimes there are other people that have similar gifts, but that ministry doesn't work. Again, I probably wouldn't be very good with the bikers, but I can think of churches that are. But this church is very good with medical doctors, and it's very good with politicians. And the church that's good with the bikers wouldn't be very good with the governors, and it's just the way it's supposed to be. Going down to the list here, people have different gifts, but even the same gifts can have different ministries to different types of people, and the same type of ministry can have different effects. And again, I go through the doors that open up and just keep working on them while they open up. That would bring us to the list of gifts in verses 8 through 11, but I'm not going to read it right away. First, I would like you to turn with me to other lists of gifts in the Bible. You might keep some note or something. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians 12, but let's go to Romans 12 to start with. And Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, will give another list of gifts. Sometimes they overlap with what's in 1 Corinthians, but other times they add different ones. Corinthians 12, we will read verses 6 and 8. I will talk about verses 1 and 2 later. But verses 6 through 8, another list of spiritual gifts. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, King James, measure of his faith, measure of his confidence and faith, it should be doing that. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The first one here is prophecy that overlaps with 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll come back to prophecy later. See, prophecy, I think, is getting a divine revelation, which is mainly the days of the apostles and prophets. But we go on to service, related to the word for deacon. Service is a very big category. All kinds of things, ancient efforts and modern efforts, can be put under service. Teaching. Well, teaching in general of all kinds of things. When we get back to 1 Corinthians 12, we'll talk about words of wisdom, which is probably teaching counseling. Words of knowledge, which is probably teaching facts. Here put together as teaching. So, some have a service category gift, some have a teaching category gift, either counseling or factual teaching. Exhortation is usually the Bible word, we'd say encouragement. Giving, all give, but some people, a special ministry. Leadership, that will come again, leadership. Showing mercy to those who are in need. So sometimes there are needs to do something that we don't have gifts at. I don't have a special good gift at children's ministries, but if there were no one else like Daphne to run it, then I would try, and it wouldn't be very good, but I would try because it needs to be done. But when others have gifts, I'll get out of the way and let those with gifts do it. That fits a general category of deacon. Now, deacon means service. And there are things that happen now that did not happen in those days, but I would say that they are service gifts. We have sound equipment running. That was not in 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12, but probably a deacon gift, running sound equipment, fixing the building. Most common problem around here is the locks don't work. Happens over and over again. The deacon of fixing the building. We sometimes have deacon of computer works. I'll have that today. I need to send some information to Alabama, and I'll probably get help to doing it. Could I do it? Maybe. But probably not the safest. Other people have the ministry of service in these things, the sound equipment, buildings, computer. We have exhortation. Exhortation here is giving encouragement. We'll know the Greek word parakaleo. Jesus said that when he went away, he would send another comforter to the apostles. That word is parakaleo, come alongside, parallel, called alongside to help. Jesus' words, reference to the Holy Spirit. Here is to a person. A person is especially good at calling alongside to help. Especially good at comforting others who are in trouble. We have, in going down through our list, we have giving. Giving is kind of a command for everybody, but for some, that's their special ministry. And they have interest in what's being done here and what's being done there. And they have interest in the categories. So, giving. Then we have leading with diligence. I would like to stress diligence. That's the same word used in the very common study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that word diligence is study. Be diligent to study the Bible. Here, the same word is being diligent in leading. Working hard at it, and some people like to be leaders. To tell you the truth, I don't really care. I'm kind of weird. I just do lots of teaching and lots of evangelism, and do think I might have mercy, because if someone has troubles, they get to the top of the list and I drop everything else. Leading, do it when I have to. Otherwise, I'll get out of the way and I'll let somebody else do some of it. That's why we have good elders. Leading with diligence. So the final gift in the list is showing mercy. Everybody should do that, but some are special at showing mercy. They get a list of people, and they're having this trouble, and they're having that trouble. And Marilyn's kind of that way. She always has a list of somebody that has trouble. She's always at least writing or contacting or texting them. And with cheerfulness. If that sounds familiar, that made the cheer sermon in last week's sermon, the same verse, showing mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy is somebody is hurting. And it kind of means pity, but it means somebody is hurting, and always have a list of hurting people, and do what can to show cheerfulness. I guess you can still come with me to Ephesians 4, where there's another list. This is a list of gifted positions. And it's verses 11 and 12. Verse 7 talked about gifts, context of gifts. Verses 11 and 12, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, like mending the nets, the fishing nets in the Gospels, equipping of the saints for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. Apostles and prophets, divine revelation, we'll talk about that later. Evangelists. Everybody's supposed to evangelize, but some have a special I don't know, burden, special need, always looking around for people who are unsaved. They need evangelism. Evangelism, again, is euangelo. Angel is message, and you is good message, like euphoric. Someone to give the good message. Particularly burden to do evangelism. Pastors and teachers can be both, but don't have to be. There are teacher types that really actually wouldn't be very good at being pastors. Pastors very often list the people, the sheep need help, go help the people. Now, in seminary, I had people that were teachers, but they wouldn't have been pastors. It's kind of funny, they were teaching pastors, but they wouldn't have. Dr. Mulholland was a guest speaker at a sermon one time, and his whole sermon was, does the universe expand and contract back and forth, or does the universe expand on and on? And I'm like sitting there, oh my heavens. And on the way out, everybody's saying, what is the matter with him? That's because Dr. Mulholland is a teacher. And he thinks about what the universe is doing, not a pastor. So there is such a thing as a pastor who teaches, but they can be separated. See, they can be separated, and they're either teacher types, and they're going on and on and on, and they're like that. Now, if you'll come to just one more. First Peter 4. It's not going to give a new list of gifts, but it's going to say there's two kinds, speaking gifts and serving gifts. Verse 10, I already did this. Each one has a special gift. Everybody has one. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, to do it as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. Purpose of all the gifts, glorify God and for the common good. Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. No new specific gifts, but the general category of some are messages, speaking, some less on speaking, but serving. Now, if we will come back to 1 Corinthians 12, so if you'll look at verses, let's see, 8 through 11, we'll read the final list of gifts, and then we'll make a little list of the parallels and condense it. 1 Corinthians 12, 8, and following. For to one is given the word of wisdom, which I interpret as counseling through the Spirit. To another, word of knowledge, kind of like your factual teaching, according to the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy, divine revelation. To another, distinguishing of spirits. This is good, this is bad. To another, various kinds of languages, glossa, dialectos in the book of Acts. That's why I say languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And then verse 11, we've already read, everybody has one. First in our list of 1 Corinthians is the word of wisdom. Paul had already taught that he gave wisdom to the wise. That's 1 Corinthians 2. His teaching gave a word of wisdom. So I think it ought to be interpreted the same way. Here, in chapter 2, a word of wisdom would be the apostolic teaching that we, Paul and the other apostles, taught. So here I would think it would be people are good at counseling and giving the apostles' message. Same way with word of knowledge. People are good at giving the knowledge of the apostolic teaching. And I'll stress this mainly because the opposite, I think, in some places. The word of knowledge is basically an immediate message. And if you'll forgive the same illustration, I always comes to mind, the lady in the grocery store with the hot dog buns fell before her. So God was telling her, it's time to eat hot dogs. That would be her word of wisdom. That's how she would interpret. This is not a person we didn't know. This was a person talking to me directly. That God was speaking to her. It was a word of wisdom to eat hot dogs that day. Well, I'm not interpreting it that way. I'm interpreting word of wisdom as Paul did earlier in chapter 6, that his teaching gives the wisdom of God. And a word of wisdom today would be especially good at applying the Bible to counseling. Word of knowledge would be especially good at applying the Bible to facts. What's true, what's error. So that's how I would interpret word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Faith, verse 9. Now, everybody has faith in Jesus as Savior who's a Christian, but some people have really a lot of faith to try stuff that really seems impossible and seems really difficult. Very often missionaries have a gift of faith. I'll go try this. It's kind of like, you're kidding me. But they have a special confidence and burden to go try things. Healing and so forth, we'll save that for the apostles next time. But distinguishing of spirits, I interpret that as this is true, this is not. This is God's truth. This is evil. And a person who can distinguish the spirits can tell truth from false, and it can give a warning very, very quickly. So, leaving out all the repetition, here are the Bible's gifts. Service, lots of things now. Teaching, encouragement, Bible orders, exhortation. Giving, leadership, showing mercy, evangelism, pastoring the sheep, this need, go after this people. I would say word of wisdom is counseling, gift of faith, trying the difficult. A person has a gift of faith. I will try that stuff that seems impossible. Distinguishing the spirits, truth and error, they're liars, they're giving the truth. This is biblical, that is not biblical. Now that little list of gifts, if we can make our own list, just look at 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 sometime, we can make our own list. I think Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us how to find them. Don't be conformed to the world. Be renewed in your mind, and then you will have a measure of confidence. Then comes the list of gifts. I think the first thing is don't be like the world. Be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the general way. After doing that for a while, then comes a measure of confidence. I should be doing this. This, to start with the Bible's list of gifts, this is what I should be doing. And if one does not know yet, then serve God generally and keep going. And usually over time, people will say, I like doing this. Or when there's a list of things that need to be done around the church, that's what I like to do. But God has a gift for everyone. It is for the common good. is to bring glory to God. Everyone has a gift. If it takes a while to know it, we just serve God in general and it will come out. And the musicians please come.